Couple of housekeeping items before we get started. I think all of you can see that our chair, Elaine Genoway, was not able to make the meeting this morning due to the coastal fire in Laguna Niguel. So Meredith Chalemi has graciously agreed to step in as chair for this morning's SCAC meeting. Incidentally, Gene Hernandez is in Alaska, so he couldn't even fulfill his vice chair duties today. So Meredith, you're it, and we thank her so much for agreeing at the last minute to chair the meeting today.
Erica, is Elaine all right? Is everything okay with them?
You're muted, Erica.
Did you hear anything I said?
Yes. No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I asked if Elaine was okay.
She's okay. She's safe. Her home is safe, but she is wearing her mayor hat this morning and has been for the last couple of days. Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Another bit of housekeeping. It looks like Aminas and Matthews. Oh, she did get moved over. There were a couple of people in the waiting room. Okay, so we will turn it over to Meredith to call the meeting to order.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the May 13th, 2022 meeting of SCAC. It's great to see everyone today, and we'll move right on to our inspiration with Evelyn Velez. So thank you so much, Evelyn.
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay. So you probably know someone who's chosen a word or a motto to live by for the new year. And these positive words become their mantra and have the power to transform lives. Words have so much power to inspire that when you choose a word or words to live by and remind yourself of them daily and throughout the day, you see everything in your life as through the lens of those words. Consider the ways that an effective personal motto can make your life better. It reminds you of the person you want to be and the qualities you want to develop in yourself. It helps you set the right kind of goals and make steady progress towards those goals. It helps you navigate your life when you have to make difficult decisions. And as your words and your actions converge, you become more and more the best possible version of yourself. My motto for the past many years is inspired by the works of Meister Eckhart, a 13th century German philosopher of the Dominican order. Eckhart's sermons were meant to inspire listeners the desire above all to do some good. My motto is to do all the good I can and be grateful for all my blessings. I approach every challenge by responding in a way that's consistent with my motto, which helps me see options that might not be visible to others, to me otherwise. Eckhart is most famous for saying, if the only prayer you say in your whole life was thank you, that would suffice. Every day begins and ends with a prayer of thanks as I recognize everything for which I am grateful. So I say to you, thank you for being on this journey with me.
Evelyn, that is so beautiful. I have chills. Thank you so much for that outstanding inspiration. Good thoughts, and thank you. Now we'll go over to our Pledge of Allegiance with Jeffrey Rodriguez.
Good morning, everyone. If you are able to stand, if you can stand. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Jeffrey, for leading us in the pledge. Now we're on to agenda item number 4, which is our roll call with our Secretary Elizabeth Busick.
All right. Charlene Ashendorf.
Present.
Linda Barcelona.
Present.
Denise Barnes.
Present.
Elizabeth Busick, present. Amelia Castro.
Present.
Meredith Chalimi.
Present.
Susan Doback.
Present.
Carol Downey.
Present.
Now, Elaine Genoway is absent today, and so is Jean Hernandez. Carolyn Inman.
Present.
Jim Levy. Jim Levy. Nope. Crystal Miles.
Present.
Carol Moore.
Present.
Patty Mouton.
Present.
Joni Nichols. Joni Nichols? Present. No, present. Not here.
She's muted.
Present.
Oh, there you are, but you're muted apparently. Joni,
I'm
okay.
Not muted. Right,
John Pointer?
Present.
Tony Rodella?
Hoorah!
Amina St. Matthews?
Present.
Barbara Sloat?
Present.
Sandy Stang?
Present.
Dave Sullivan? Dave Sullivan, I thought you were here. No Dave Sullivan?
He's on mute.
Yeah. Okay, just raise your hand, Dave. Well, everybody sees Dave?
Yes.
He's still on mute.
Okay, all right. Dave Tetzloff.
Present.
Cynthia Thacker.
Here, and I do need to leave at 10:30. I'm sorry, thank you.
All right, thank you. And Jeffrey Rodriguez.
Here, present.
Evelyn Velez.
Present, and I too will be leaving early.
All right, thank you. We have a quorum.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Now we're on to agenda item number 5, which is our action item, AB 361, a review and make findings required by government code subsection 54953E3. The recommendation is to continue virtual meetings due to the proclaimed state of emergency arising from COVID-19. Meeting in person presents imminent risk to the health and safety of attendees, and the emergency continues to directly impact the ability of members to meet safely in person. And I believe that we have a roll call vote. Is that correct, staff?
I move the resolution. Carol
Thank
Moore.
You, Carol.
Second, Patty Mouton.
Okay, and I'll proceed with the roll call vote. Charlene Ashendorf?
Yes.
Linda Barcelona?
No.
Denise Barnes?
Yes.
Elizabeth Busick?
Yes.
Amelia Castro?
Yes.
Meredith Chalemi?
Yes.
Susan Dobek?
Yes.
Carol Downey?
Yes.
Elaine Genoway? Jean Hernandez? Carolyn Inman?
Yes.
Jim Levy? Crystal Miles?
No.
Carol Moore?
Aye.
Patty Mouton?
Yes.
Joni Nichols?
Yes.
Phil Orland? John Pointer?
Yes.
Tony Rodella?
Aye.
Amina St. Matthews?
Yes.
Barbara Sloat?
Yes.
Sandy Stang?
Yes.
Dave Sullivan?
Yes.
Dave Tetzloff?
Yes.
Cynthia Thacker?
No.
Jeffrey Rodriguez?
Yes.
Evelyn Velez?
Yes.
And that is majority chair.
Thank you so much. I do not believe that we have any introductions. Am I missing anyone? I don't think so. So we will move on to agenda item number 7, which is our presentation.
Meredith, if it's okay, can we go out of order? I'm sorry, you guys, I'm at the C4A conference, so I need to give my update before our presentation this morning, if it's okay.
As long as that's okay with our speaker. Shell, is that work with your schedule?
Absolutely, no problem at all. Thanks for asking.
Thank you so much, Shell. I promise to be brief. So like I said, I'll give my update and then I've got to get to our presentation at the C4A conference this morning. Orange County was actually selected to highlight our iPad program under the Senior Technology Project. So I'll be bragging about all of you this morning at 10:15. But just a few updates for the month of May. As all of you know, it is Older Americans Month. And so our Orange County Board of Supervisors provided an Older Americans Month proclamation to SCAC and to the Office on Aging. And so Elaine Genoway and I attended the board meeting on Tuesday and accepted the proclamation on behalf of SCAC And I don't know if anyone was able to tune into the board meeting, but Elaine was able to make some comments. And so she drew attention to SCAC's report of the top priorities that came out of your working group this year to all of the board office's attention. All of them have received hard copies as well through their chiefs of staff this week. So, you know, more to follow on that. I'm sure the Office on Aging will receive questions from the various supervisors if they need any further information or clarification. We are in contract renewal season. We usually go to the board in the end of May to get ready for our new July 1 contract cycle for all of our senior services contracts. So that is on schedule to go to the board on May 24th. Then we'll be able to get all those contracts set up and in place to be effective July 1st. The other thing that's going on is some of you may have received some emails regarding this, but ACL at the federal level is looking to update the Older Americans Act. So finally, which is awesome, because unless we receive some updates and edits to the Older Americans Act, we are not going to be able to touch half the things that are in California's master plan for aging. So it's very important that our voices are heard and that our feedback gets submitted in time. Unfortunately, ACL is only giving folks 30 days to provide comments. So we feel like that's a tight turnaround at the Office on Aging, but it's going to be even tighter because we want to be able to get the feedback from all of our partners in the community and then consolidate that into one Orange County response. So we'll need some lead time to be able to prepare all of that feedback and bundle it in our response within that 30 days. So we're preparing emails right now to our partners. I will forward that to SCAC as well. If you want to make some comments that you want to make sure that we include in our feedback, you'll have the opportunity to do so. On the legislative front, I've been giving updates on SB 1342, sponsored by Senator Pat Bates. That's the bill that will Orange County help to draft, and that is related to the Master Plan for Aging when it talks about person-centered care and care coordination. We don't have a legal mechanism to be able to gather in a multidisciplinary team fashion and share information and data across programs, even when we're sharing the same clients. So it's extremely inefficient, and without this bill, that won't allow us to really case coordinate for the sake of the clients and their families. So that has passed the Senate and Judiciary Committee hearings. I think it is on calendar for appropriations hearing next week. So it's moving along. And so far, we haven't heard of any opposition, but on the flip side, a ton of support. So we'll keep our eye on that. And then the last thing I wanted to mention is that the iPad program is winding down. We are distributing our last 8 devices this week. And so we will continue to provide the data plan and the training and the online class support so long as we have the grant funding, which goes until the end of September. In the meantime, we are hearing that there is potential for additional grant funding from the state for senior technology investments. I think it's going to be a non-competitive grant. We just have to opt in and say that we're interested, but the state has not released their formal request for interest just yet. So we just have like a narrative of what the grant would be about, and our allocation, if Orange County opts in, looks to be about a little over $3 million. So we've met with our CEO's office and social services, because even though the money's coming from the Department of Aging, it's going to be flowing through social services. But they understand that our department has already been working on this effort and has been very successful with our initial project, that they're willing to just funnel the money our way. And they were very amenable to our first idea, and that is just to extend the data plans for the current iPad users under this project. That's, I think, an easy win and a way that we can prolong access for seniors that clearly need it. So I will keep you posted when we get the official grant notice and what the timeline of that looks like. And I think that's all I have.
Thank you so much, Erica, for your leadership and for the amazing work that's being done. And I'm so glad that you get to brag about the programming in just a few minutes.
So. I will. And thank you so much for letting me go out of order and off agenda today.
Have a good rest of the day.
Bye, you guys.
Bye. Okay, so now we will swing back to our presentation for today. Our topic is Mental Health Awareness Month, an overview of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, OC programs. They're also known as AFSP. And we are very lucky today that we have Shel Pavlis joining us. She is the co-chair of the Orange County chapter of AFSP. She's trained in many of their programs, including Talk Saves Lives. She is certified in mental health first aid and the champion in Orange County for Project 2025, which is AFSP's bold initiative to reduce the number of deaths by suicide nationally by 20% by the year 2025. As a mental health care advocate, Shel speaks about suicide and mental health throughout the county and nationally as the creator and the host of the podcast Hope Out of Darkness, which can be found on all major audio podcast platforms. So it's my pleasure to turn the forum over to Shel. We can't wait to hear about your programs and how they impact Orange County's older adults.
Thank you so much, Meredith. And thank you all for giving me this opportunity to talk to you all today. I really appreciate it. Can you all hear me okay? My volume okay? Okay, great. I have popped in some information into the chat that I will refer to as as we talk today. And I am going to screen share. I did prepare a presentation quickly last night for all of you that's a little bit formal, but I also want you to know that if at any time, please, if you have any questions, come off mute. I probably won't be able to monitor the chat as well as I'd like to while I'm doing the presentation. And then I definitely have left time afterwards so that perhaps we can have a discussion. You could share your comments. Maybe if any of you have been affected by suicide, you could share your story and we can talk and I can answer any questions that you may have.
That sounds wonderful. We typically hold our questions until the end of the presentation. So that's okay. Probably fantastic. What you're going to see happen.
Fantastic. Okay, I'm going to screen share. And if you would let me know that you all see that. Thank you very much. Okay. And then I tend to speak quickly too. So if someone wants to chime in and tell me to slow down, if I need to, that would be wonderful. I have so much to talk about and so much to get in. I want to start here by giving you a little bit of background on AFSP and what we do. So AFSP nationally was established in 1987, and it's a voluntarily health organization that gives those affected by suicide a nationwide community empowered by research, education, and advocacy to take action against this leading cause of death. AFSP creates a culture that's smart about mental health by engaging in the following core strategies: funding scientific research, educating the public about mental health and suicide prevention, advocating for public policies in mental health and suicide prevention, and supporting survivors of suicide loss and those affected by suicide. It's headquartered in New York with a public policy office in Washington, D.C., and AFSP has local chapters now in all 50 states with programs and events nationwide. Now, our local chapter here in Orange County was established not too long ago in 2015. By several people who had lost loved ones to suicide. They felt the need for a local organization that focused solely on suicide prevention, education, and support. And two of the founding members are actually still serving on the board with me, and they're continuing their work and support in the communities actively. And because of them, we have connections throughout the county with other mental health care agencies and organizations. And we are really active in our community here in Orange County. If you go to our website, actually, I don't think I popped the link in, but I will when I'm done. The website is afsp.org/Orange County. And we actually have a section called Work in Our Community. And you'll see our list of events. It's actually not entirely current, but you'll see the things that we've done already this year and a lot of our upcoming events. And to give you a better idea of some of the types of things that we do out in our community, we provide our education programs to private groups and also make them available to the public. We do a lot of Zoom classes. Fortunately, we've learned, you know, to do that. And that has really increased our reach throughout Orange County, which is incredibly wonderful and a positive. We have support programs for those who have suffered a loss or who are struggling. We have outreach events, and we set up resource tables all over Orange County at mental health fairs, schools, community events like parades. I'm actually have an event coming up where I'm going to go to the VA hospital in Long Beach, which services Orange County, and I'm going to sit inside the gate and provide our resources to veterans there with a representative of the VA. We also participate in discussion panels about mental health and suicide, similar to what we're doing today. We have field advocates write letters to support legislation that will help provide better mental health access, education, and support for those in our communities. And we raise funds. And those are used so that we can provide all of our programs and resources free of charge to those in our community. One of our most popular programs is called Talk Saves Lives, An Introduction to Suicide Prevention. So this is a standardized 45 to 60 minute presentation that gives participants a clear understanding of this leading cause of death, including the most up-to-date research on suicide prevention and what they can do in their communities to save lives. Participants will learn common risk factors and warning signs associated with suicide and how to keep themselves and others safe. There are many different versions of this program available now, and there's a special version of Talk Saves Lives for seniors. I really encourage all of you to see the whole presentation at some point. It's incredibly chock full of really helpful information, but I am going to share a few highlights with you today. Now, keep in mind, these are small portions of the actual presentation, and I wanted to retain the actual language in the presentation because it's research-based. But in the next few slides and my comments, they're coming directly from the Talk Saves Lives senior version. The purpose of Talk Saves Lives is to provide community members with a general overview about suicide, who it affects, and what can be done to prevent it. This presentation will cover some statistics to give you an idea of the scope of the problem of suicide. We review some key research findings, including the risk and protective factors that relate to suicide. We will share some information specific to seniors and suicide, and we will talk about what works and what we can all do to prevent this leading cause of death. This particular segment of Talk Saves Lives talks specifically about what research has shown us about suicide and suicide risk among a population of special interest, people 65 and older. Although suicide rates are highest among Americans ages 52 to 59 years, the rate among Americans 65 and older is still higher than the national average. The CDC reports that in 2019, the suicide rate for Americans of all ages was 13.93 per 100,000. For individuals 65 and older, the rate was 16.98 per 100,000. When we look at men over 65, their rate is very high, 32.51 per 100,000. A few minutes ago, we saw that the general population for each death by suicide, it is estimated that there are 25 attempts. However, when older adults attempt to end their life, those attempts more often result in death. some of the reasons for this include things like isolation, greater access to lethal means, and the increased likelihood of a serious health condition that would make them less likely to survive a life-threatening event. It's also essential to understand that depression is not a natural part of growing older. It is an illness that, if left untreated, can become fatal. So let's talk briefly about some of the things we can all do to help prevent suicide. Critical to suicide prevention is getting people connected to mental health treatment. One of the biggest challenges in fighting suicide is getting people to address their mental health in the same way they would for physical health. In fact, of those suffering from a mental health condition, less than half seek treatment. One way to encourage individuals to seek help for their mental health conditions is to treat mental health like any other aspect of our health. There are certain times when a person becomes ill, and it's critical to seek a trained professional. We need a culture where everyone knows it's smart to take care of our mental health. It's important to have a caring, supportive conversation with someone you might be worried about to allow them to share what they're experiencing. A conversation is a way to show you care, and it also allows you to gain more information about their level of distress. So let's start by talking about suicide warning signs. Watch for the warning signs in yourself and in others. The full Talk Saves Lives presentation goes into risk factors and how to spot them, but I've kind of condensed this. So let's talk about the warning signs, which are observable signs that signal suicidal risk in the near future. If you see warning signs, reach out to individuals in your life you're concerned about, and reach out to others if you're struggling. Seek mental health services if you're depressed or if your anxiety regularly interferes with your daily life, and encourage others to do the same. Suicide warning signs are typically displayed in three main ways that we can detect: talk, behavior, and mood. Now, again, I'm going to alter the presentation slightly here because talk and mood are typically more obvious signs. So I'm going to focus on behavior right now. Behaviors that are atypical for an individual should encourage you to speak to that person about what you're noticing. People thinking about suicide can display certain behaviors. There may be an increased use of alcohol or drugs. They may have trouble sleeping, either experiencing insomnia or sleeping too much. They may start acting recklessly. They might withdraw from activities, especially from activities they normally enjoy. They may isolate themselves from family and friends. They also might look for a way to kill themselves, such as searching online for methods or shopping for a firearm. They may also give away their possessions or show a related behavior, reckless spending. Now, I know that the highlights I just gave you, especially about warning signs, aren't the full picture on how to identify someone at risk. But the takeaway for today is look for changes in behavior and trust your instincts. Please assume that you're the only one who is going to reach out. In too many instances, people talked about their concern for someone amongst themselves, but they hesitate to reach out to that person directly. So here's a rule of thumb. If you're wondering if someone is depressed or overly anxious, that is a sure sign you should reach out. Same goes for you. If you're having suicidal thoughts, that's a sure sign you need to seek help. If you've reached out before to someone, reach out again. The first time, the person might not be receptive. Keep trying. Try talking to someone else or with a professional. And even if suicide turns out not to be a concern, they may still be in distress and they may feel comforted and supported just by knowing you care and you're taking the time to listen. So, how do you reach out to someone? For some of us, this may feel like second nature, but for others, they're not comfortable and not really sure what to do. So you can talk to the person in private, listen to their story, express concern and caring, ask directly about suicidal thoughts. Don't be afraid to ask the question, are you thinking of ending your life? Research has shown that directly asking someone about suicide will not cause them to try to kill themselves. Encourage them to seek mental health services. And of course, if they're in crisis, take them to help. If you think that someone might make an attempt on their life soon, stay with them. Do not leave them alone. Now, of course, if the situation puts your own safety at risk, you do need to leave the area immediately and call 911. Help them remove lethal means or remove themselves from the potentially dangerous area. For people who are at a crisis point, the most important thing that you can put between a suicidal person and their way of ending their life is time. Research shows that by temporarily reducing a suicidal person's access to lethal means, we give suicidal individuals time for that intense suicidal risk to diminish, and time for someone to intervene with mental health support and resources. Escort them to mental health services or an emergency room. Help them to call the lifeline. Now, I did put the lifeline in the chat. And that lifeline, you can call that yourself too. You can call that when you're with a person, or you can call the lifeline on your own. It's not just for people in crisis. And the lifeline, they can advise you what to do or what resources are available, what the next step is. And if the person that you're with is not comfortable speaking to a counselor on the phone, there's always the text option. You can text the word TALK to 741-741. So I did put those numbers in the chat. And if I suggest if you have a minute, I love the idea of taking out your phone right now and actually adding both the lifeline and the text line into your phone as a contact. That way, if you ever need the resources for yourself or to help a friend, they're available and you have them. You don't need to look them up. You don't need to remember them. Of course, when we change to the 988 number, that is much easier to remember. But for now, with the 800 number, it's nice to have it in your phone, and they are available 24/7, 365 days a year. So before I open things up for discussions and questions, I'd just like to touch upon one last incredibly important concept. Self-care is suicide prevention. Far too often, we don't take the time to take care of ourselves. Just like people can find strategies that optimize their physical health, people can do the same for mental health. In addition to professional mental health care, proactive self-care strategies like good sleep habits, exercise, nutrition, and stress management can also play a critical role in protecting mental health and promoting resilience. We actually have a wonderful AFSP healthcare strategies flyer that we pass out at our resource tables, and I'd be happy to send anyone a copy or provide copies for groups to hand out or leave out. You're welcome to contact me by email. And that's the same as all of our other resources that we have as well. We have several brochures. Seniors and Suicide is one of them. After a Suicide is another. We have a Lifesaver's Guide. And you might find those of particular interest, today. And again, I'm happy to provide those or have a chat about what resources we have available and how we can help at any time. Together, we can create a culture that's smart about mental health, will save lives and vastly improve the lives of many, many, many more. So let's chat. I'm gonna take
Thank you so much, Shell, for that amazing information. I know that folks have questions, but I do see a comment or a question actually from Evelyn in the chat.
Okay, just I see wondering. That. So the reason we actually don't make our Talk Saves Lives presentation available to the public because we train our presenters to give the presentation. And when we give the presentation, we are always of utmost concern are our attendees and how those who are viewing the presentation and may be affected by suicide or have lived experience are affected by the presentation. So we want to make sure that everyone's safe. So not only do we have typically a presenter who is trained give the presentation, but we also have a moderator. Whether we do the presentation live or on Zoom, the moderator can answer any direct messages that anyone poses in the chat room. And then live, of course, I mean, if someone leaves our presentation, the Talk Saves Lives presentation that we give live, we're gonna follow you out, even if it's just to go to the bathroom. We just want to make sure that everybody, you know, is safe and everybody is okay. So that's the primary goal. And one of the reasons why we just don't provide it online to everyone. But if, of course, any of you are interested in the full Talk Saves Lives presentation, any of the versions, you know, we're happy to help you schedule that. And we do have on our website, afsp.org, we have Talk Saves Lives virtual presentations, which are publicized there for the public. And you can register, and it doesn't really matter, obviously, on Zoom, where the presenters are. Attendees can join from anywhere. So hopefully that answers your question.
I think it's an amazing opportunity for us to consider for senior centers as well. You know, the Well-Being Reimagined Subcommittee in you know, had the talk last year on Talk Saves Lives for Seniors. It was very amazing.
Yes. It's
something that we want to talk about and destigmatize. And so liaisons, it's something for you to attend and then consider if you want to recommend it for your local senior centers. So Carol Moore, you had your hand up first, I believe.
Thank you so much. That's a great presentation. Thank you so much. I very much appreciate all the work you're doing in that area. You know, it's interesting, Evelyn's presentation this morning was so outstanding because I have read that when we are thankful, we stop and look at the things that we are thankful for, whether it's flowers that we have access to or whatever, it actually changes our own outlook on life and it improves your health. So what you said, I have a feeling ties in very strongly to this. And I've also heard that about pets, that just petting your dog or your kitten or whatever your pet is, that actually lowers your blood pressure and has an effect on positive thoughts. Shell, one of the challenges today, and I bet you're seeing it, is that there are so many crises around us that if we get caught, pulled down in the web of all the crises and don't see that there are things that need to be addressed, don't minimize those, but we can't make every single one of them a crisis that doesn't have some solutions out there. And I think positive, when you were speaking at the senior centers, I would think that uplifting talk that shows there are responses, positive responses, even though they're problems, that we can work on the problems and we can move forward. I tend to think that would be helpful. And thanks again for your presentation.
Absolutely. Thanks for all of those comments, Carol. One of the things, as I mentioned, one of our most important pieces is, again, the self-care strategies flyer. And I actually made a note of Evelyn's comments. And I love the idea for some people incorporating a positive personal mantra or motto could be part of their self-care strategies. Absolutely a wonderful idea. And I think the point is for each individual to find what works for you, because it's not going to be the same for everyone. As you mentioned, it might be spending time with a pet and having a pet, you know, close by to love and care for you. My little puppy is right behind me sleeping. You know, for others, it might be, you know, going down to the ocean and sitting by the water or reading, or there are, you know, so many obviously options and ideas of things that we can do. But the point is, you're absolutely right. We all need to take the time, no matter what our age, to focus on ourselves at some point in time, despite all the crises that are going around and what we do pay attention to. And what we do pay attention to is pretty critical, isn't it? Because if we're constantly doom scrolling online and all we're seeing is the negative, that is not healthy for us mentally. And we do need to incorporate the positive. So thank you.
That's a new term that I now am going to use, doom scrolling. That social media diet is very important indeed. It is. So I know your name's not John Pointer. We have two John Pointers on Zoom today. So please ask your question and remind me of your name.
I'm Sherry Horn. It was an excellent presentation. I used to work in mental health for chronically psychotic and schizophrenic individuals from 18 to 58 years old. So we got tons of training in suicide intervention and managing assaultive behavior. And it is so important to reach out. It really is. I mean, of course, take care of yourself, but for other people to look for the signs and to reach out, because I will tell you, I have never had a better feeling for myself than having the privilege to reach out and touch other people's lives. And if you can talk somebody down from a suicide off a bridge, or there's no more rewarding thing than to help that person get back on track, and you'll be saving yourself as well. So never fear reaching out, because it helps all of you. Even if it doesn't do something right that very second, not everyone's on a bridge at the time. So just jump right in there. Thank you for your presentation.
Oh, thank you, Sherry. Yeah, if I could add to that, we, of course, one of the things that we all need to be comfortable with is talking about this topic, talking about mental health. And there is stigma. I mean, I'll share my own story. In my family, it wasn't until I started doing my work with AFSP that my mother came to me about a year ago, and she shared with me that my aunt died by suicide. The family did not know and had not shared it or talked about it. And I know in other families, that stigma is there as well. You know, sometimes it's an ethnic background or upbringing that perpetuates that stigma and makes people, you know, feel uncomfortable about talking about it. Talking about mental health is showing weakness, when in fact, talking about mental health and asking for help is actually being strong. So we just need to have those difficult conversations. And as you said, thank you so much for all the work that you've done in the past with mental health and with supporting and caring for those in need. Sometimes it's just about asking that question, you know, are you okay? That starts a conversation. You know, I noticed you're not quite yourself, or you're a little bit off. Are you okay? That's a great conversation starter.
Thank you. Evelyn, you're next.
Thank you for the presentation. I just wanted to say that the comment you made about the spiraling down with all of the depression, you and Carol, about the news. I live in a senior community, and when I walk around, I see so many people with their TVs on to 24-hour news, and they listen to it over and over and over. And I wish there was some way of really communicating. You have a choice of spiraling down by listening to all of this, or you could watch the Discovery Channel. Watch a gazelle be killed rather than just sit there and spiral down with all of the things that are happening.
Yeah, isn't that so true? Or put on music instead of the TV. Some music.
Spend time outdoors.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, Amina, you have your hand up as well.
Thank you, Shell, for a wonderful presentation. It's a much needed reminder to really take care of yourself. And, you know, that self-care is very important, just as important as physical care. And my question is, your presentation that you mentioned, are those done in other languages as well, or can that be offered in other languages? Because here, I work here at the community center, the Cambodian Family Community Center. We do work with a lot of elders whose English is not their first language. So I really would like to share this presentation with them as well.
Yes, we have, we currently have a Talk Saves Lives version in Spanish. Right. And we also have national working on several other language versions. Okay. And what they're doing is they're not just translating the Talk mm-hmm. Saves Lives. They're working with members of the community to put the presentation in, obviously, their language, mm-hmm. but also to include community specific information that's so important. So the challenge is we don't want community members to feel like we're outsiders mm-hmm. talking at them. Right. We want community members to receive the presentation from mm-hmm. other members of the community. Mm-hmm. So we're working on it, and I hope to see some newer language versions sooner than later. It's very important.
That's great. Thank you, Shell.
Of course.
And then we have one last question, I believe, in the chat. And Helen wants to know if you can discuss the how you collaborate with suicide prevention programs that are part of the Mental Health Services Act, MHSA.
I can talk about some of it.
Good question.
I'm the Project 2025 champion for Orange County. So what that means is I'm in charge of implementing Project 2025 here and the programs that involves, and it's brand new for our Orange County chapter, even though it's not brand new nationally, it's been around for a couple of years. And as a reminder, the goal is to reduce the number of suicides by 20% by the year 2025. And through research, we've targeted four areas in which to do that. And those areas are healthcare, so larger healthcare systems, emergency departments, and that would be putting in, we have screening programs available. And now several larger mental health care systems and general health care systems, as well as emergency departments, already have screening programs. But our programs are a little bit different for those. What we're hearing is that even though providers and staff have the screening tools, they don't know what to do when they've identified someone at risk. And there's no procedures or protocols in place at some places for the follow-up, for the interventions, and then for the follow-up and support for the staff afterwards. So we have those tools available. So I'm just trying to spread the word throughout Orange County that we have those available. We're talking to all of our existing partners to make sure that they know what we have available and see if we can help. You know, that obviously will help anyone who goes into emergency departments or into those healthcare facilities who is at risk. Hopefully we can reduce the numbers that way. And then the two other areas which I'm working with the county on are corrections and, you know, helping to provide the information that we have. We have a brand new Talk Saves Lives for corrections staff where we cover both again, a lot of the general information about suicide and do general suicide education, but we also talk about some of the intricacies where staff are dealing with their residents and how to handle certain situations and how to identify residents who may be at risk. And we also talk about support for staff themselves. And we actually have a plan. We've partnered with a very large corrections organization, and there's a suicide prevention plan that we have as well. So that's something that we're working on. And then Orange County, you probably most of you are aware, just came out with their new firearms safety and suicide education programming and a brochure. Well, we have a brochure as well, and it's a little bit of a different focus. And we have, of course, I've reached out personally to, we have, I believe now it'll be 8 here in Orange County, 8 gun retailers and ranges. And I'm working with them to provide them information and help them create a suicide prevention plan and also a plan for after an on-site suicide for those retailers and range owners who don't already have a plan in place or have a plan in place that could use some of our resources as well.
It's amazing. Any other questions? I do like Jeffrey's comment that he plugged in the number into his phone. I did as well. It'll be a lot easier once 988 launches later this year. But for now, having that number, you never know who you're going to run across that looks despondent at the grocery store or somewhere else in public. And having the courage to have that conversation and then calling that number for help, I think is really meaningful. Shell, thank you so much for coming and for sharing and for everything that you're doing.
Of course, Dave, reach out. Not all of our materials are online. So if there, we can talk about what the need is and come up with a specific plan.
We have one last question from Joni Nichols before we close this presentation.
Yeah, I am grateful for your presentation, and I took your phone number for the prevention line. I happen to have a son who's been on the prevention side, manning one of those lines for 10 years in Vancouver, Canada. I have one very grave concern though. I just called this number during your presentation and during the entire course of the presentation, I was put on hold. Now, I find that very disturbing because I was prepared to tell them, hey, I'm just calling today because I want to know how many hours of operation, if I ever give this information to somebody. And yet nobody ever answered. And I was put on hold with upbeat music. So I'd like to address that problem.
It's a concern. So it's my understanding what happens is if you call from a landline, they will try to route you to someone who is local. If you call from a cell phone, they don't necessarily, well, the infrastructure is still being rolled out to be able to know where you are calling from to provide that information. But, you know, I'll be honest, I've called it a couple times too. And one time someone did pick up, you know, fairly quickly. And, you know, I immediately say, you know, no one's in crisis. I'm with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. I'm calling, you know, to ask you a question, or I'm just calling, you know, so I'm familiar with how the Lifeline works. I have as well have tried it and there is not someone available. So here's the suggestion. With our new Orange County, there have been a lot of changes in Orange County mental health care lately, and with the new behavioral health units and the new division at the Orange County Sheriff's Department, depending on where you are located and what city you're in, if you can't get through on the lifeline and you are with someone who is in crisis, call 911 and tell them that you could not get through on the lifeline and you're sitting with someone who you believe to be having a mental health crisis. So they know right up front, and they are equipped to handle that.
Thank you for your candor.
Yep, it's important for us to have systems and then to see that the systems work and give feedback and funding when they don't. So thank you, Joni, for that. Well, Shell, we know that you are a busy gal. You're welcome to stay with us. We understand if you need to log off, and thank you so much again for your presentation and for the contact information that you've provided in the chat. We really appreciate you.
Thanks for the opportunity. Appreciate you all.
Okay, so now back to our agenda. We are on agenda item number 8, public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the council regarding any items within the subject jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Do we have any members of the public that are wanting to comment?
We did not receive any request to speak in advance, but there are members of the public present. If there are members of the public present that would like to address the board, please use the hand raise icon or press *9 and I will unmute you. And I believe Ann, was that an accident? Raise your hand again if you would like me to promote you over to speak. And I see none, Chair.
Thank you. Agenda item number 9 is chair items. As we know, Chair.
Is requesting to speak. Her hand came back up. I apologize.
No worries.
Okay, Anne, I've promoted you. If you'd like to speak, unmute yourself, accept the promotion, and then unmute yourself.
Hello. Hello. I don't know if the presentation lady is still on. How does she feel about Naomi Judd, committing suicide the month of mental health, just before her presentation on the music? I forget what program she was going to be on the very next day. You feel that she did it to show more light on Mental Health Month?
Shell is no longer with us, and she logged off.
Yeah, I tried to do a chat, but it didn't work. Anyways, I thought the presentation was very good.
It was excellent.
I'm convinced that talking does help. Music, going to your garden, talking to people. Yes, all those things help. Self-care, self-comfort.
Agreed.
Thank you,
Anne. Mm-hmm. I also have received a text that Mary Perdue is joining the SCAC meeting right now. Is Mary here? Not yet. Well, when Mary arrives, Elaine asked me via text that we...
I have just promoted her over.
This is such an exciting hosting opportunity today with all these different moving parts. Mary, are you here now? I'd like to welcome Mary Perdue. And Mary, Elaine, let us know that you are joining us. And if you'd like to introduce yourself, please feel free to do so.
Yes, my name is Mary Gray Perdue. I am Chief Development Officer at Family Assistance Ministries. I have been wanting to get involved with seniors because I have a huge heart for seniors. And I've known that this is an area that I want to be committed to. And was speaking with Mayor Genoway and told her that. And she said, jump on. So thank you for letting me jump on. And I hope to watch the whole meeting on the recording. So thank you for that.
Thanks for coming, Mary. We're glad to have you here, and you're with a lot of people that care a lot about older adults. So welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, so I think now we swing back to agenda item number 9. Desiree, you can let me know if I'm not doing things correctly, which is chair items. I'm not going to speak about anything today. So we can move on to number 10, which we already completed, which was the Office on Aging update with
Madam Chair.
Erica.
Yes. Madam Chair, point of order.
Okay.
Meredith?
Yes.
John Pointer. Today is supposed to be CSL elections. I don't see that unless that's going to be in the chair items. So if we skip over item 9, we're skipping over the CSL elections.
Thank you, John. Back to item number 9. CSL elections, and I'm going to need help on how to handle this.
I'll be happy to help you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
So there are 7 candidates for 7 positions. The chair has the authority to simply declare by acclamation that there are 7 candidates for 7 positions. All you need is 1 vote for each individual and they're elected. So the chair may simply declare by acclamation that the 7 candidates are elected to the CSL. Now, before you do that, Meredith, just 1 point of clarification. There is a CSL requirement that the candidate be present during the election to be considered and elected. There are 2 members that are missing today, mm-hmm. in spite of my efforts to get them here, Jim Levy and Kathy Meschak. So only 5 of the 7 candidates are present for the meeting today to be considered for the election.
So then would I make an acclamation then?
Yes, just simply, if you want to, what I would simply do, Meredith, is simply say that there are 5 candidates present for 7 positions, 2 senators and 3 assembly members. I declare by acclamation that the 5 candidates are elected to the senior Senate and Assembly positions.
Oh, Carolyn, thank you so much, John. I have that written down. Carolyn, you have your hand raised.
Excuse me. Since they aren't here, is it possible to nominate people that are here?
No, there are no nominations from the floor. There's an application process that runs from January until March 31st.
Meredith,
those applications are then vetted by CSL, and a certificate of eligibility is then returned to the PSA, the AAA, and that's basically the slate that is used for the election process.
Meredith, can I just interrupt quickly?
Yeah.
Because the item, I know that that was something that was discussed, was doing the CSL elections. I know Erica and Elaine had mentioned it. However, it's not on the agenda as an action item to do any kind of public voting. So I'm not completely sure. I'm reaching out to Erica now and Jenna to see how we can move forward and if we can move forward. Because that was not mentioned on the agenda. And I, even if Elaine was going to bring it up under chair items, she would have had to list it as an item to take action on.
Desiree.
Yes.
That's pretty troubling. I attended the executive committee meeting. It was specifically discussed. I have gotten people here specifically for this event. So again, I understand the protocols, but I'm voicing my concern that I'm not sure what else I had to do in order to ensure this was on the agenda And these people were elected today.
Right. And I understand your frustration. Again, I am reaching out to Erica because I know that was a conversation that was had with both, not only in the executive meeting, but also with Elaine and Erica personally. So if as soon as she gets back to me with some kind of directive, then I can advise how to move forward. But the directive that I've received is that in a public setting, we cannot take any kind of action item vote, because this would be a vote that would be required by the members to elect those CSL members. So as soon as I get some kind of response from either Erica or Jenna, then I can let you know if we can move forward or not. But unfortunately, at this point, there's my directive is not to move forward on something on a vote that's not properly listed on the agenda. And the agenda was something approved by, the agenda was approved by both Elaine and Erica prior to posting and sharing.
I understand. I hope you appreciate my frustration
as
well.
I do.
Absolutely.
I view this as a slight. Okay. And I'm not happy about it.
Something that Elaine may have caught if she wasn't dealing with the fire for the last 3 days. I don't know. But well, yeah, it was.
I'm more affected by the fire than she is. Okay. I'm in the evacuation zone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Anyway, sorry. I'm letting my anger spill out here. I will step back from and wait to see if we get any kind of clarification.
Thank you, John. We hear you. Dave has his hand up.
Yes. Can we make the acclamation and then have a clarification afterwards? Because if it is clarified that this is appropriate, then we can move forward. If not, then we're just putting things backwards, just another 2 months. Because if we're blank in June, we're saying that this decision cannot be made until July, unless
we have a special meeting of the SCAC. If we can't get authority to do this today,
well, that would be the other option. But I'm saying let's take the acclamation now and get a clarification, and then move forward from there. A situation of doing and asking for approval afterwards. Because this is totally inappropriate. This has been on the agenda or in the minds of many for 2 or 3 months now. And the whole process, it was set up in January of what the schedule was going to be on this. And it's an inconvenience for everybody that serves on the California Senior Legislature.
Thank you, Dave. Hopefully Desiree will get a text back. I think that maybe we should go to standing committee reports. Does that make sense to people while we're waiting? So that's what we will do. We will go to agenda item number 11, our standing committee reports. As we know, our vice chair, Jean Hernandez, is away. So I will turn over now to Evelyn, but she had to leave. It's such an unusual meeting today. Barbara, would you like to share about what's going on with Wellbeing Reimagined? You're on mute.
Oh, okay. My computer was running out of juice, so I had to move to another location.
It is Friday the 13th. Yes.
Oh, that's the reason. Okay. our Wellbeing Reimagined Committee program next week will be from about Be Well OC, the Mobile Mental Health Crisis Response Team. And the speaker is Natalie Busnagian, who is the homelessness coordinator for Newport Beach. And she will be talking about the seniors that are documented experiencing homelessness in Newport Beach, and also we have a mobile van that is available, and it's 12 hours a day and going through Newport Beach and picking up, addressing the problems of people experiencing homelessness on a crisis basis. And that will, Natalie will be speaking to us next Wednesday at our meeting at 1 p.m.
Thank you, Barbara. And that sounds like a great compliment to what we talked about today on that continuum of addressing mental health needs of various older adults in Orange County. So that sounds great. Sandy Stang, I believe that you are still with us. Could you talk to us about housing and transportation?
Yes, we had our meeting yesterday and we had a presentation from OCTA and TCA. So it's an update on the toll roads. And the presentation was very long and they had the slides and I don't have the slides yet. So I'm just gonna do the best I can. And some of the other people on our committee will probably say I missed a lot. But anyway, the 91 Express Lane, she gave us an update. She said it's 18 miles, two lanes per direction. The toll road was acquired in 2003. They did an extension in Riverside in 2017. The price varies depending on the day or the time or the week or day of the week that you're traveling. However, if you're in the HOV lane, three plus, they can ride for free. Everyone still needs to get the sticker transponder though to ride in the toll lane, whether you have the three people or not. You can go online to get the sticker. You can go into the office in Orange. Let's see, what's next? They were talking about how the toll roads have helped speed up traffic in the other lanes, taking pressure off. The biggest thing that I saw that was I thought was interesting was if you're disabled and you have a permanent license plate that says you're disabled, you still have to register your car, you still have to get the sticker transponder, but you can ride for free, except you cannot ride for free in the heavy peak. I think they call it super peak, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. So you cannot ride in there for free, but it is 50% off. So
that's good to know.
I thought that was really good, but you still have to go in and do all the procedure, register your car so that they know that you're disabled. And it's not the hanging placard in the car. That does not count. It has to be
the license plate.
Permanent license plate. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was good to know for people that if you know anybody that has the permanent plate, they have to go through all the steps, as I said, and everybody needs to have the sticker to get to whatever it is you're going to get. I know they've changed it quite a bit. They didn't go into great detail, but I believe, and I shouldn't say this, but I think there is not a service charge if you don't use it now, where there was in the beginning when you had the transponder.
Right.
Yeah. And if you want, when I get the presentation, I can give more specifics, but it was just too much information for me to write down. I tried writing and now I can't read my writing.
Lots of details.
Too many details. But anyway, they said, they feel the toll roads are quite successful. They didn't want to keep taking out homes or, you know, prime land to keep building lanes on the roads. And so they feel that, you know, so far this has been pretty successful and they're trying to be proactive rather than reactive. And I think from what I've seen, they've done some other things too, like on the 91, I think it is, they put the barriers up so you can't keep crossing over. They're having problems with people going in and out of the lanes and you can't do that anymore. And then we're gonna try and get an update and hopefully we'll be able to present it to you in a couple months on what's going on with the 405 and the tolls that are coming on the 405. So that's about all I have.
Thank you, Sandy.
You're welcome.
Okay, so I have unfortunate news. Desiree was able to confirm that due to the Brown Act requirement, we cannot take any action or vote on anything not clearly stated on the agenda. This is unfortunate. I will get back in touch when I can with Elaine and with Erica. And I know that Desiree will as well to see how we're going to rectify this, perhaps with a special meeting. We definitely don't want to delay things further. And I apologize to everyone that's been inconvenienced.
we have an idea when we're going to do the election? Because it's not going to be in June, right? Because we're dark.
I can mention it to, like I said, I will discuss with Erica and I'm sure Meredith with Elaine. And we do have a scheduled special for all boards and committees on June 10th because SCAC is dark. So on June 10th, there will be a special anyway. So I don't know if Elaine would entertain having the CSL elections at that time. It's a possibility. And I can recommend that if... you know, but again, it would be up to both Elaine and Erica, but there is a June 10th special meeting scheduled.
So otherwise they have to wait until July.
Correct.
The election
or another special on the other day.
AAA to conduct an election in either May or June.
Well, special meetings can be called at any time.
Great. It doesn't. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. I am sorry.
Dave Tetzloff, your hand is up. Do you still want to talk?
Yeah, I would recommend a special meeting since we normally meet on Fridays. And I would recommend meeting next Friday just for a one item special meeting. If that can be worked out with Elaine and everybody.
Thank you, Dave.
And Jeffrey, you have your hand up?
Yeah, I was just going to say, we're going to have another special meeting anyway to continue with the going virtual, correct?
Yes, that's on June the 10th.
Yeah, so I mean, at worst case scenario, maybe it can be put there if it's unable to do prior, just as a thought.
Thank you. Yeah, we need to make this a priority, definitely. Okay, number 12, senior citizens liaisons. Cynthia messaged me that she had to leave the meeting early. So I don't know if anyone has anything to say at this time. We all had the questions to pose to the senior centers that we work with about Get Set Up and how the iPads went, et cetera, and that was supposed to be sent in. So hopefully you were able to connect with some of your senior centers, send that information along, and Cynthia can share out next time, hopefully, what she learned. Joni, do you have something to say?
I reached out as a liaison to the two clubs and I wrote them and they wrote back nice letters, but they didn't answer the questions. So I'd like some guidance.
Telephone call.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you. I know Thacker, I think that's her name, has already left the meeting, but I was going to ask that question of her. Thanks.
Yeah, sometimes it's easier to have those verbal conversations to draw things out, I've noticed.
Oh, I just prefer everything in text. And
I know, me as well, yes.
That's why we're Facebook friends. Bye, dear.
That's right. But great question. Sometimes you have to use those multiple approaches. Okay, so now we're on to agenda item number 13. Oh, hand up by Carolyn Inman.
This is not an announcement, but I would just like the executive board to consider when people announce at the beginning that they have to leave, that their items be moved up, because we've missed a couple of really important items because people had to leave. Just an idea. We did move, you know, Erica up, but I think we could have moved Evelyn and, Cynthia as well.
Yeah, it's interesting to try to sort that out too, because I give the guest speakers time frame so that they're not on the hook for 2 hours.
So but thank you, Carolyn. We do make changes.
Yes.
Just an idea.
Yeah, great idea. Probably someone more adept can do that too next time. This is a little wild for me, to be honest.
You were great. Thank you.
Elizabeth?
Hi, I just want to say what a great job you're doing, Meredith, on a Friday the 13th. So.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Now,
I was asked to tell people today that the Irvine Adult Day Health Services, Inc. Is open for business and they would like more customers, patients or people. I spoke with someone on the board of directors yesterday, and she asked me to say this. And for those of you who might remember Nancy Chang.
Nancy Chang.
Chang, C-H-E-N-G. Anyway, she is involved. And anyway, this person said she had just met with Nancy and she's doing well, and gives her her warmest regards. So, but anyway, the Irvine Adult Day Health Services is open for business, and they could use more customers or patients. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Carolyn, do you have an announcement?
No, sorry. I just wanted to ditto Elizabeth's announcement. My husband went to that program for, I'm going to say approximately three years, and it is excellent. And I've always talked about isolation and loneliness. And in addition to all the exercises or, you know, those kinds of things, the socialization just cannot be matched. It's an excellent program.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. And adult daycare centers across the country are really having a hard time reopening and having the financial sustainability that they need. So it's really important for us to support however we can. Jeffrey?
Just wanted to let everybody know that the Social Security offices are now open for those that need to go in and do business. We still recommend that they make a appointment if they're able to, but for those that need to do business and maybe were unable during the pandemic when our offices were closed, there's a few more appointments or walk-in availability now.
Thank you so much. That's an important access issue, so that's really good news. Any other announcements? Okay, well, our next SCAC meeting will probably be soon because of our issue, but the regular SCAC meeting will be in July 8th, 2022 at 9:30 a.m. Remember that for the most part, we are dark in June, and our upcoming standing committee meetings, senior citizens engagement will be May 16th at 9:30. Housing and Transportation, July 14th at 9:30, and then Wellbeing Reimagined, May 18th at 1 p.m. I will call this meeting to adjournment, and thank you all, and have a happy Friday and a good rest of the weekend.